Amen. 1 John, please, chapter 5. Tonight is our final message in 1 John. And Lord willing, next week we will start the book of Hebrews. I had a look today at, since I came to RBBC in 93, what I've preached through or taught through. And now that we're finishing this book, that'll be 27% of the Bible that we've walked through. So that's the start. It's amazing how long it takes, though, huh? But we're starting Hebrews next Wednesday, and then in 10 weeks we'll finish Isaiah. And so pray for me that I'll have wisdom about what's after that. I'm looking at the three J's: Joshua, Job, or Jeremiah. So one of those. So anyway, so I like to keep it Old Testament Sunday night, New Testament Wednesday night. So just be in prayer about that. Anyway, 1 John, what a great book. What's the main theme of the book? Christina?
Love.
Number one word is love, or loveth, or loving. 46 times it shows up in this book. The second most common word, anybody remember? Know or knowledge. And he finishes with that theme again tonight, starting in verse 18. We know. We looked at 13. We know some things here. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God has come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. I'm going to just use that as my title tonight. Keep yourselves from idols. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you use your word in our hearts and teach us and grow us through it this evening. We thank you and love you. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. So we already had a long talk about the sinneth not and what that means. That we as believers in Jesus Christ have been justified through Jesus Christ. And doctrinally speaking, we have never sinned and never will, because they're all gone. They're all under the blood of Jesus Christ. But the Bible says, so we've got both the doctrinal and the experiential or the practical in one verse here, because he says, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself from what? Well, from the world, the world's ways. And so even though we are justified in Christ, we are still living in a wicked world that's constantly trying to cause us problems, constantly trying to touch us. And notice it says that wicked one toucheth him not. So God's desire is that we keep ourselves from the world. And part of that is idols, which we'll talk more about later. Because when we think idols, we immediately think, you know, a little figurine that you put up on the mantle. But a lot of things can be an idol, which we'll see very soon. But God wants us to keep ourselves from the world, from the devil, and that takes work. Look over in James chapter 1, verse 27. It takes us keeping ourselves close to the Lord, keeping ourselves in the Word, keeping ourselves in prayer, walking in the Spirit of God. Keeping ourselves in the world is a battle that we will fight from the day we're saved until the day we die. The world and its ways and system. Notice James 1, 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So there it is again. Keep himself unspotted from the world. So God's desire is that we keep ourselves unspotted from the things of the world, and those things can become idols, as we'll see when we get to verse 21. But first, God reminds us that we know some things. And he kind of summarizes that for us in verse 19 of our passage tonight. He's been telling us all through this book some of the things that we know. Why do we know them? Because we have the Word of God. Probably the most important one is verse 13. These things I've written in you, the believing man of the Son of God, that you may what? Know that ye have eternal life. Well, that's where it all starts. You got to get saved. And John says, I've written this book so you can know you're saved, so you can know you have eternal life. But he tells us that we know a lot of things. Verse 19, we know that we are of God. We know that we're saved, but not because of some experience that we had, which a lot of people will say, oh yeah, I went to an altar and I prayed. If you know you're saved because you went to an altar and prayed, you've got to be careful. We should know because of the book. We should know because the Bible tells us that if we trust Jesus Christ, we're saved. Prayer doesn't save, Jesus saves. Remember that. But John is saying, we know. Those of us that are Christians, those of us that are believers, and from the very beginning of the book, if you go back to chapter 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. John's saying we can know that we are saved. We can know we're Christians. He goes on to say, verse 20, and we know some other things because of God's Word and because we're Christians. What does he say? Jesus Christ has come. We know this. The world doesn't. The world scoffs at it. But we know Jesus has come. He came to earth, died for our sins, rose again. We know this. Why? Because God wrote it down. Our Creator told us so. That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. What else do we know? That we may know Him. That is true. So we know that He came, and we know that He is God. How do we know this? From the Word of God. Jesus said, if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. We know Jesus is God. We know He came to earth. The Bible tells us, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. Jesus Christ became a man and died for us. Jesus Christ is God. And it goes on to say, and we are in Him. So we know that He came. We know He's God. And we know that when we got saved, we were put into Him. If any man be what? In Christ, he's a new creature. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into the body of Christ. We have been placed into Christ, and we are in Him. And notice it says, even in His Son Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. Isn't it beautiful that he finishes the book by reasserting the deity of Jesus Christ? His Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. Jesus Christ is the true God that we know has come, that we know has given us life. But Jesus Christ isn't only the one who gives us life. Jesus Christ is life. That's what it says. He is the true God and He is eternal life. What did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we know a bunch of things, but John, interestingly enough, chose to finish the book with another statement, not about things that we know, but things that we're to avoid. And he starts it by saying, little children. We know he's writing to Christians. He told us this in the beginning of the book. But he looks at his converts as his children in a beautiful way. But he says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. I mean, of all the things that John could have said to finish his epistle, he said that. So he finishes with amen. So let's understand this tonight. Ezekiel chapter 14, we'll start there. And make sure that we understand that it is possible for a Christian, a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, to have idols. If it weren't, then John wouldn't have written that down for Christians. Look at Ezekiel 14, verse 3. Son of man, these men have set up idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel on their own heart, because they're all estranged from me through their idols. I took you to that passage because the Bible talks about idols in the heart. Idols can be in the heart. They don't have to be a physical idol that you can touch and feel and make out of wood or whatever. An idol can be in the heart. Now, John has already given us in chapter 2 the categories of the sin in this world. Right? The Bible tells us that we're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. And John said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, in chapter 2, verse 15. And he goes on to say in verse 16, all that is of the world, or in the world, so all that is in the world. And then he tells us, basically, this is the world, the devil's world system. He's the god of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. That sin can be put into those three categories, which means that idols would go into those three categories. And so let's just briefly talk about some potential idols from Scripture that would fall into these three categories that John says, keep yourselves. Now, he already said, keep yourselves in verse 18. Or was it 19? No, 18. He says, keepeth himself, and that wicked man, or that wicked one, toucheth him not. So we're to keep ourselves from the world, and as it says here, keep yourselves from idols. Well, idols, what are they? Let's talk about some of them. So first category, lust of the flesh. Is it possible to have idols that are related to the lust of the flesh? I would say yes. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2:22. And actually, this has become, through the devil's craftiness, a huge problem in our society today, has it not? Through pornography. It has become an idol in a lot of lives, unfortunately. Notice 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. What are we to flee? Youthful lusts. Can the lust of the flesh have idols? Absolutely. You know, Proverbs said, chapter 6, lust not after her beauty in thine heart. Jesus said in Matthew 5, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. These are heart problems. And yes, there can be idols in the heart that are of the lust of the flesh category. You know, Job said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Explaining how the eye gate can affect the thought life. So there can be idols relating to the lust of the flesh. Then he goes on to say, lust of the eyes. Now this is more of an obvious one, right? Money, stuff, wanting things. Jesus, if you go to Matthew 6:21, told us that our heart is with the things that we want. And that is covetousness. Notice it says here, Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So Jesus is connecting treasure or stuff, money, with the heart. And saying, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Timothy says in 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money is the root of all evil. Which is an amazing truth. But if you look at Colossians 3:5, this drives it home that covetousness, wanting money and things, look at the word God uses for covetousness in Colossians 3:5. And it leaves no doubt about idols. He says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, comma, which is what? Idolatry. There it is. God says that covetousness is idolatry. We don't think of covetousness as idolatry, do we? But God says it is. The lust of the eyes, the desire for things and money, God says is idolatry. Jesus even told a parable in Luke 18 about a ruler who loved money more than anything. So the lust of the flesh can be an idol in our hearts. The lust of the eyes can be an idol in our heart. What about the pride of life? The third category of sin. Well, let's look at Luke 18 and see if the pride of life can be an idol. Has anyone ever heard of self-righteousness? I wonder if self-righteousness could be an idol. Luke 18:11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even at this publican. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. What's this publican's, this Pharisee's problem? Self-righteousness. He's comparing himself to others and holding up his deeds to the Lord as something that God should be pleased or impressed with. And Jesus said the man did not go down to his house justified, if you look at the end of the parable. So the Bible tells us that self-righteousness can be idolatrous in our hearts. So can stubbornness, by the way, which is the pride of life as well. When Samuel was rebuking Saul for disobeying God, did you know he said stubbornness is as idolatry? How can stubbornness be as idolatry? Well, because it's pride. It's putting self above everything else. That's what an idol is, when we put it above other things. So we're putting self, stubbornness, no, I'm going to do my thing. I want my way. I don't care what people say or what God says. I want to do what I want to do. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. God says that's like idolatry. And that's part of the pride of life. If you go to Daniel 4, we'll see another good example of idolatrous pride of life. And this was not from Daniel's life, thank the Lord, but from someone else's life. Chapter 4, look at verse 30. Anybody ever heard of Nebuchadnezzar? The Bible says, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of my kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Now, Daniel had already warned him because of his dream. But still, one day he's walking through the palace and he looks around and says, wow, look what I've done. I'm such an amazing king. Verse 31, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And we know the rest of the story. He got to run around on all fours for a while and eat grass. Why? Because he had put success or his accomplishments as an idol. And God had to teach him a lesson and punish him for it. So, yes, the pride of life can be an idol. Yes, the lust of the eyes can be an idol. And yes, the lust of the flesh can be an idol. A lot of things can be an idol. Family can be an idol. Success, a job, Those can all be idols. Obviously, things can be idols. The desire for things, covetousness is idolatry. And of course, things related to lust and flesh, these can all be idols. And what does he say? Keep yourselves from them. That's a conscious effort on our part. It's not something that's going to be just automatic because we're a Christian. He's telling us, you're Christians, you know you're saved, you know you're in Jesus Christ, you know who Jesus is, you know He's come, you know He's risen from the dead, you know you have eternal life. Now keep yourselves from idols. Being saved isn't enough. Because the old man is still there giving us trouble, he's saying, keep yourselves from idols. That's work on our part. And we have to implement the things that he's told us in the book to keep ourselves from idols. And anything that we put up above everything else becomes an idol. And the good news is, if we're saved, the Holy Spirit will point those things out when we pray and when we're in the Word. And then we have opportunity to deal with them. But the key is, as look at Romans 14, we'll close there. The key is to keep ourselves from them. To see the warning signs. We know what our weaknesses are. And the devil's going to try to use those things against us. Because the devil knows what that besetting sin is in our lives. But the Bible says, I thought it was Romans 14. Make not provision for the flesh. Anyway, there's a verse somewhere. It says, make not provision for the flesh. I thought it was Romans 14. 13. Ah. Oh, it is 14. Oh, it is 14. Good. 13, 14. There it is. Thank you. Not 14, 13. 13, 14. Look what it says. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. That's a conscious effort on our part. Make not provision. That's what John's saying. Keep yourselves from idols. You already know what your weakness is, or weaknesses are. So does the devil. So those are the things he's going to keep trying to bring into our lives to get us to worship those idols. And we don't think we're worshiping them, but we are, instead of God. And what does he say? Make not provision. You already know what that is, so stay away from it. Build the walls you need to build to keep yourselves from idols. Protect yourself. Be in the Word. Be in prayer. Be in church. And keep yourselves from idols. Because you know all these things, which is wonderful. That's no guarantee that the devil's not going to use idolatry against us. We have to keep ourselves. Let's pray.